Blog Talk Radio.
Chaos Flight Controller is gonna go for landing. Retro.
Go.
Rhino.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Insurgent.
Go.
Capcom, we're go for landing.
You are tuning in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Maria Wilson Duff. Join us as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and so much more. Once again for taking the time to check out a little Paranormal Horizons podcast with myself, Jason Ophir, and Maria Wilson Duff. Hello, Maria.
Hello. Great job on the new intro.
Yeah, I just slapped it together in like 30 minutes. I gotta get more dedicated and spend more time on stuff. I used to spend hours on them. Lining up a dozen different tracks and all that. I found myself, as I age, just getting lazier and lazier. Is that normal?
Well, it just depends. But, you know, it's sometimes when you're in a field for so long, you kind of burn out and you want to move forward to the next step, but you kind of like that connection that you have, and you just kind of don't want to do it anymore, but then again you do. So I think that's about where you are right now.
I think so. I think I've been involved in the paranormal for so long. Well, it's been 2008 officially. This show's, I don't know, 300 and some episodes.
Yeah, I know.
Lot.
I mean, that's 12 years of what's next, you know, and it's hard to keep up with the new stuff that comes out, because you kind of want to talk about it, but then there's that other side that you want to look more into it before you talk about it, and there's so much disinformation out there, it gets to the point where you just want to shut up and not say anything about it at all.
I generally find myself just burying my face in the hands when I start watching YouTube videos of paranormal activity. Some of it's so blatantly ridiculous, but what can you do? So tonight we don't have a guest, as we haven't in quite some time, and I usually start off the show talking about a little bit what's going on with me. Now, the show next week, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, because I am in line to purchase my very first house. It's actually under construction. There are so many complications with this situation. I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to move in next week, because I went to this house that I bought. You know, it's under construction, so I'm not expecting much. And the lack of work that had been done on it over the last few weeks was astonishing. And so I've kind of lit a fire under the builder's ass to get it done. And I basically told them, if we don't close on Friday, I'm going to be homeless. Now, that's not true, but I've just been sitting here anxious. I don't like waiting. I don't know if you know this, Maria. I'm a very impatient person.
Yeah, I've kind of noticed that.
And so we got this house. Hopefully it'll be done and I can close on the 17th. But there were some other problems with it too. Like, I used to be a private investigator, and so I really just was bored one night and I took my private investigator skills. I dusted off my private investigator skills and I was really looking into this property, and I saw that there were back taxes, but what really concerned me was there was a lien on it, like a construction lien, like one of the builders had put a lien on the property.
Oh,
I was like, oh God,
that's not good.
Yeah. It was $15,000 for drywall.
Oh, wow. That means the builder is not paying his subcontractors.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about
good.
That. Now, I can't. I mean, it's not a huge deal in terms of me not getting the house, but it's a delay, and I'm kind of on this schedule because the title company won't release the title to me unless the back taxes and the liens are taken care of. But I'm like thinking to myself, I'd be surprised if they could take care of all these problems prior to Friday. And so it's just frustrating because I'm just sitting here. I want to move. I'm packed. I'm ready to go. Excited to get into my new place. And it's just, haven't even had an inspection on it. And so it's just kind of frustrating.
Yeah, you've been looking at this it's been a couple of months. This is something that should have been taken care of a long time ago. I would be very leery of that home. Just saying, from my viewpoint.
Well, there are some protections with stuff like liens. In the state of Oregon, the builder has to provide title insurance, which basically ensures, you know, that I get a clean title and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm not an expert. I'm learning a whole lot about it. It's kind of buying a new home, there's pros and cons to it. You know, you get nice new stuff, but, you know, you have to deal with these liens and stuff like that, which aren't uncommon. Apparently, when I was looking into it, a lot of builders that do a lot of work on properties file the liens before they've even completed the work. It's like a preemptive thing, and it's basically to ensure that they get paid. So it isn't necessarily a case where they haven't been paid. It could very well be a case where it kind of gives the builders, the subcontractors, you know, more clout to get paid, sort of thing.
Kind of a security blanket for the subcontractors.
Yeah, which I think is totally messed up. So this story is developing, and I can't wait. I really hope we close on the 17th. I'm hoping to move in next Monday. That would be ideal because I have to return to work August 1st, and I have to buy appliances and stuff like that. So I it's going to be crunch time for me.
Yeah, I would say so. Can you go into the stores and look around at the appliances you want, or are you having to do the online ordering?
See, I don't know how any of that works. I've never bought refrigerators or washer dryers, so I'm hoping I measured the areas for them, and I've found some, you know, I'm going to get cheaper stuff. And even to me, cheaper stuff is expensive. I mean, a cheap stainless refrigerator, Frigidaire is $1,000, you know. And it's about another $1,000 for a washer dryer. And those are the only appliances I need. So this whole thing's, it's going to be expensive. It's a good thing I'm paying cash.
Yeah, that is a very good thing. It's nothing's cheap, but I know in our stores around here might be open. The last time I had my washer went out, and I tried to go to stores to look at them, and Best Buy wouldn't let you in. You had to buy it online, and there was another place, I think it was Lowe's, you could go in and pick out the appliance you wanted, but they were not going to deliver it until, I think it was like 6 weeks later, and when they did deliver it, it was going to be curbside only. So it was up to you to get it from the curb into your home. Well, I'm pretty awesome, and there's a lot of stuff that I can do physically that at my age I probably shouldn't be doing, or a lot of women my age don't do. But getting a washer into my house is just not one of those things. So, you know.
I need the stuff installed. I'm not going to – this is a 3 stories. I'm not going to be lugging a big 300-pound refrigerator up – flights of stairs. I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think of how COVID could be affecting getting stuff installed. So,
COVID has just turned everybody's world upside down, and it's ridiculous, and it's just, on one hand, I understand the people that get this are not, I mean, they're deathly ill, either die from it or they suffer through it horribly. But those numbers are so small as far as the deaths compared to, you know, and I don't want to downplay any of it. It's a very serious thing that's happening. I guess it's because it's so contagious. But, you know, the numbers have been going down in our state, and then all of a sudden our governor's decided, oh, well, we're going to make it mandatory that everybody wear a mask for the next 30 days. That makes no sense. You didn't make it mandatory back in March. Don't open the gate and let the cows out and let them go running wild, and then decide to, oh, well, we're going to make this mandatory. So none of this makes any sense to me at all.
I'll tell you what I've been observing, which I've kind of find a little bit disturbing, is, you know, I've pretty good, well, I'm in the best financial position I've been in, and so I do what I do, what I love to do, which is play slot machines. So they opened up the bars in Oregon, and you're required to wear a mask. So you go in there, and all the machines are turned off. You pick a machine, they wipe it down, and you get on it. And what I'm noticing is we're required to wear a mask, but everybody there, as soon as they come in with a mask, they take it off. I was like the only person there wearing a mask. Everybody else just wears it to walk, get through the door, and then just takes it off. So if this is as contagious as they say, that we're screwed.
Well, and that's something I don't understand either. I mean, and I'm not around a lot of people daily. The lobby doors of the bank that I work for were closed until June 1st. And they came in and they taped off how people were supposed to come in the door and how they were supposed to leave in a different exit because they didn't want people crossing paths. And, you know, there are a lot of people that come in and wear masks. We've got the plexiglass up between the tellers and the customers and the receptionist and things like that. But, I mean, it's just the county that I work in, there's just not so many cases that start shooting through the roof. And I'm just, it just, it's almost one of those things where I think that some of the tests that they've sent out for them to use on people are already going to mark a false positive just because there's a defect in this. And then I get to thinking about, oh my gosh, well, what if these tests that they're giving people have that virus on it and then they shove it up your nose and they give it to you? So, you know, my mind starts going down this huge, horrible rabbit hole, and I just have to stop it. I have to quit because it's just one of those things.
It's an interesting time. Interesting time to be alive. I mean, yeah, I don't even know where this is going to go. You know, when this first started, I stockpiled food thinking that it's the end of the world. And then I started digging into my stash of food. And now it looks like with things getting worse that, you know, it might get bad again. So I guess once I get situated in my new place, I'll have to start stockpiling again because things are just going to get dag nasty.
Well, I mean, you know, we always have the regular flu season. And they say that this is going to get worse again when the regular flu season kicks in. Well, it's more money for the hospitals or whatever, clinics, that when they give these tests, that it comes back as COVID positive than it would be anything else. So, and that's another issue that's been going on is the death. There's people that die of things that doesn't have anything to do with COVID, and they're listed as a COVID death. So that's more money. And, you know, and I don't understand that. If you take the incentive away, then it makes you wonder if this is going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, with ICUs, they keep reporting, you know, ICUs are full, and they're really giving the impression that ICUs are full because of COVID. But I'll tell you, I work in a hospital. I work in an ICU and ER and all that kind of stuff. And at least up here, people are in the ICU not from COVID but from other stuff. So I think the reports are kind of misleading, at least in my area, because, yeah, ICUs are usually pretty full, you know.
Always, no matter what. I mean, it's, you know, there's people that have heart attacks and they are put into the CCU units, and people have accidents, car accidents, and they're put into ICU. You know, there's been so many, and like you, you've been furloughed. So, and there's been several reports, and this has been, let's see, so this is July. I'd say back in April, they were talking about in this area, they were going to have to start laying off medical personnel in the hospitals because they didn't have anybody in there. There were no patients. So they were even.
And that's how it was.
Right. And they were even getting to the point where that, I mean, they were laying off maintenance people. I mean, there was nobody in these hospitals, but yet all we hear is how full ICU is. And it just absolutely blows my mind. And it's a fear-based, let's scare the bejesus out of everybody. And then you've got the groups of people that aren't going to let this, you're just not going to do this to us. So, and it's like, that one meme that I posted, that said something about everybody's, or all the posts on my Facebook right now says, you want to put your masks on, and then the other colonists say, kiss my ass. It's just not going to happen. So, I don't know where we're going to go from here. You know, if you think that you are in jeopardy personally of getting this virus, if you're over the age of 65 or if you're under the age of 65 and you have other health conditions, heart problems, lung problems, anything like that, you know, please wear your mask. If you don't want to get it, or if you are afraid that you do have it and you don't want to spread it, you know, wear your mask. Whatever you're comfortable with. If you don't want to do this, then your life, and don't live in constant fear. I see people outside in the beautiful fresh air, and I see them with their masks on. So I don't know if they're scared or if they have it and they're not wanting to spread it. So it's just something that we're going to have to live with, and we're going to have to move past it. We're also going to have to quit listening to the media. One of the biggest things that I can tell you is turn off your freaking TV. Stop watching CNN, Fox, MSNBC, or BSNBC, however you want to view it. It just seems like they just thrive on the fear of everything that can happen to a human. Anything that they can make you afraid of, they're going to put on the air. And I just always find it so funny that if you, I mean, you can pick all of them. Every news station, if you're listening to them, flipping through the channels, they all say the same thing. Same.
Okay, I'm back.
I mean, yeah, I didn't tell anybody you disappeared.
I just had a power outage, and it shut down my internet. Internet had to reconnect. Lord.
It happens. Live radio is just such a wonderful thing. But no, I was talking about, you know, just turn off, if just turn off the TV. They all say the same thing. It's maybe worded different, but it's all the same. And it's all to just scare the bejesus out of you. They're all turning your head from what's actually going on behind the scenes. Anytime you have something big, national news, unless it's a huge natural disaster, they're coming up with this to make you look away with what's actually going on behind the scenes. And that's a lot of people are starting to go down for a lot of deep state no-nos that they've been doing, and they're starting to hit the floor.
Yep. I agree with you. There's a lot, you know, we live in a fear-based society. That's the government wants everybody to be afraid. I don't know the psychology behind it, but, you know, we see it all the time. The media and everything wants us to be afraid of something. If it isn't COVID, it's something else. You know, terrorism.
Well, and that's
whatever.
Just like all those stupid riots that went on. You didn't hear anything about, you know, here we are in the middle of all this, and then they are all out there rioting. Some of them had masks, some of them didn't. And so then there was a spike in cases, and they blamed it on Memorial Day weekend. Not one word was ever said about anything else. And then Trump starts his rallies, and then they start running their mouths about that. But the funny part is about it is that you're not hearing anything else about Joe Biden. You're not hearing anything other than the fact that he's dumber than a rock. And that's all you hear. So
I don't know
where
anything
this
about
is
politics.
Going.
Who knows? Martial law, probably?
You know, man, there would have to be something just really bad to happen it would have to be a natural disaster before I could see that ever be put in place. Because, and I've watched, you know, Trump has left it up to each governor of their state to govern their state and their commonwealth how they see fit through this whole thing. He's not one time told them how they need to do it. And so, I mean, it would have to be something really bad before that ever came out.
I'm still waiting for an alien invasion.
Yeah, well, I thought that was going to happen this month, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. That'd be pretty cool, though.
Oh, what a crazy world we live in. So there's something I wanted to mention to you, which I ran across, which I thought was weird, transitioning kind of into the paranormal, sort of. Or maybe it is paranormal, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Randonautica? It's an application you can get on your phone. So I ran across this other day. I think I was in the YouTube world really deep, you know, watching videos, and I ran across this, and I was like, this is the strangest thing I've heard in a while. So there's an application called Randonautica. You can download it to your phone, and I'm not an expert. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to dig into this too deep, but what it is it's an application that you set your intention in your mind, and it sends you to a random location where it kind of is based on your intention. So if you want to be scared, you set the intention in your mind, you're scared, and you run this Randonautica application, and it'll send you to a location. And the people that created it, or what I'm hearing the buzz about this is that it somehow uses quantum stuff and quantum voids and entanglement. I don't know. Now, normally when you hear something like this, it's just a bunch of nonsense where that your phone is just generating a random location and, you know, maybe there's something crazy there, maybe not. But there were a couple stories that had to do with people. Well, there's a bunch of stories of people using this application and getting what they wanted from their intention in their mind, leaving us to think that, well, maybe this application really works. The first one was a guy wanted to find something spooky or something. So he ran the application. It sent him out into the middle of nowhere. When he got there, there was this old decrepit car and like children's clothes by the car. And then he was like hearing weird voices. And at one point, you hear a child's voice talking as if it's talking right next to the guy, and it totally freaked him out. So that was kind of spooky, but you know what? Anybody could fake that. But the one instance that I thought was really interesting was these people were running the application, and it sent them to this, I couldn't tell, maybe it was a river, the bank of a river. So when they got there, the intention they had was they wanted to be scared, I think. So they went to the side of this river, and they noticed that there was a suitcase along the line of the water, and they went to investigate the suitcase. And it stunk and it was heavy. So they thought, oh, this, you know, there could be a body in here. So they called the police. The police went out there, and it was somebody chopped up in the suitcase. And we know this isn't fake because this was widely reported on the news. I believe it was in Seattle. So this application sent them to the body parts of someone. Crazy.
That's creepy. No, that's not anything I need to do.
Yeah. So I was thinking about it. I almost downloaded it on my phone to kind of test it out. But then I was thinking, man, that, it is kind of creepy. And there are stories and stories of people having experiences with this phone app. So I'm you know, I'm kind of bored. I'm not doing a lot. I may try it out and give a report, but I'm going to have to really, I'm going to have to think about that. I wouldn't think an electronic application would cause me any sort of spiritual distress, but it would be interesting to test.
Dave, you have that on a daily basis without an app.
Well, that is true.
But, you
it doesn't
know,
take
like
much.
It doesn't. But you're telling it your location, and then you're telling it your intention, and you know. So is there a guy on the other end that's like, okay, I'm gonna go out here and kill somebody and leave this for them so they can find it? That's creepy.
It could be just a weird you know, with so many people on the planet and so many things, there's certainly coincidences out there. I thought it was a very kind of trippy coincidence that this application sent them to that spot, and the other one was kind of creepy as well, but this application has been downloaded more than a million times, so it's not some obscure app that just came out. It's just the first time I'm hearing about it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that absolutely love murder mysteries and unsolved mysteries and things like that. I mean, if you could download that scenario that you wanted to figure out, hey, this might be the thing you want to do. I mean, if you want to find out about that UFO that landed in that field back there and what that one person happened to go through, you could download this and find out. I don't think you'd want to do that, but I don't know.
I'm thinking there's
enough weird stuff. I don't want to do this.
I'm thinking I'm going to set my intention to money and see what happens, see if it sends me to some random street and there's a satchel of cash. How sweet would that be?
Yeah. That would be wonderful until you picked it up and took it off and the drug dealer that lost it or left it there for somebody else to pick up comes out for you.
That's true. I'll take my chance.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Cash is king.
So I guess I need to get a subscription to the newspaper that's in your area so I can check it daily to see if you've disappeared or not.
Yeah, well, if I do get this app, I'm going to document it and have somebody with me. So if I end up getting abducted by aliens or something like that, it could be well documented.
Okay. As long as you have a plan, I'm good with this.
I'm coughing. I think I have COVID-19.
On my end of the world, it's called allergies. Pollen.
Yeah, maybe I have allergies.
Yeah, you're allergic to the world outside of gambling and pizza.
Yeah, do allergies make your eyeballs itch? Because my eyeballs itch.
Yeah. They have.
Okay, maybe it's not COVID-19.
And of course, if the government's put some kind of a chemical down into your air ventilation, that would do it too. They might be coming after you, Jason. You never know.
I'd be surprised. Why haven't they come after me sooner?
Well, because they like to tease the animals before they destroy them.
There's probably some CIA analyst right now sitting at a desk listening to the show.
God, they'd be bored as hell if they did.
Yeah, I know. What?
You know, it's like the last 2 weeks we took the hiatus, and you know, and today we just don't do the paranormal like we used to.
No.
Maybe you do need to do this adventure, so maybe we can like jazz this up some more.
I wonder if there's a way to do it live. I should do that and see if that's possible.
Well, yeah. Just take your phone with you. And while you're doing this, well, you know, we can put that on the show.
That would be interesting. That would be pretty entertaining, actually. But the thing is I live in the city, so it's like if it gives me a random location, it's likely to be on private property, so I don't know how well it would work. I think something like that would work better if you're like in the national forest or somewhere where you could actually move about without freaking out the neighbors.
Oh, well, yeah, a national forest. That's exactly where you need to be. Good God. They find
go
a pile of your clothes and the shoes sitting beside of it, and they wouldn't find you.
Speaking of that, I watched a documentary the other day regarding how many people disappear in national forests.
Pretty scary.
Yeah, there was, I wish I could remember exactly which area it was. I want to say it was in Arizona, maybe. And there was one area, you know, many, many, many miles where hunters, it's all hunters. They just up and disappear. But it's, mm-hmm. you know, you would expect hunters to, you know, get lost, this and that, which happens. But people are just flat out disappearing. One of these people that disappeared out there, he was a tad handicapped. So he went, there were two vehicles, him in one vehicle, a couple guys in another vehicle. The two guys, you know, went off deep into the forest because they weren't, they were in good shape, whatever. But the one guy at base camp, he couldn't get around much, so he couldn't go very far. So he made it a little bit, you know, maybe 100 yards away from where the cars were parked. When the two returned, he was gone. There was no sign of him, and he's never been found. So it wasn't like he could have just walked off hundreds of, you know, yards and gotten lost. So what is going on in the natural forest? There was another one. A lady disappeared like 7 miles south of where this one guy disappeared, and they searched and searched. And she was found face down in a creek bed, like with no clothes and no sign of any trauma. And there's just a lot of weird stuff that goes on in the forest.
It is. And it makes you wonder, is it a UFO thing? Is it a Bigfoot thing? Is it some kind of serial killer that... That's Chewbacca. I love Chewbacca.
It's a Wookiee thing. It's a damn Wookiee.
Yeah. Is it some kind of time wormhole type thing that you step into? And nobody can figure it out. Then they just probably label all of it as a natural death or fall or something, drowning in her case, something like that.
I kind of think, you know, obviously I think the most logical explanations are people just get lost. But I do think there are certain cases that have to be looked at beyond that. The one that sticks in my mind of something similar is the very famous case of Travis Walton and his alien abduction, where he was out with a logging crew in the middle of nowhere with four or five other guys, and they're leaving, and suddenly they see a light out there above the trees, and he gets out to check it out, and then he gets blasted with a ray beam or whatever. And everybody else takes off, and Travis Walton disappears for like a week and then shows back up dehydrated. And these guys took lie detectors tests and looks like they all passed. And so it makes me wonder if stuff like that really isn't happening out there. People just happening upon a UFO, and it's an opportunity for these aliens to take people.
Well, and in Travis's case, he had witnesses. And a lot of these national parks, there are none. And, I mean, if there's two people that went, there's two people that disappeared. And, you know, my husband and I used to, when we were coming home from somewhere in the evening, we would drive through the national parks that's not ours from where we live, just to see the wildlife activity in the evenings. And, you know, I mean, what if something had happened, I mean, to both of us at the same time? There would absolutely be no record at all. They would have just maybe found the truck empty. Is that because somebody come out of the woods with a gun and wanted to take both of us? Or, I mean, you just, like you said, the aliens come down and take you up and you're gone. I mean, and it makes you wonder what kind of investigation is completed on things like this. Is there somebody doing the investigation that actually knows what's going on? Have they seen this before? Are they taking the right precautions, forensic evidence, or are they just going, it's just somebody else that's disappeared? We'll find traces of them later, maybe.
Yeah. It kind of makes you think twice about going out camping. This stuff never crossed my mind when I spent tons and tons of time out camping. I never saw anything weird.
It doesn't anybody normally. I mean, you just think that you're going to go out for a nice, peaceful weekend or week or whatever and pitch tent and sleep with nature and pack it up and travel down the road a little bit and do it all over again the next night. You don't think about everything that could happen. You're more worried about wildlife. Is a bear going to come after me? Is there a bobcat? Is there, you know, something like that? I mean, that's the stuff that usually goes through a normal person's brain, not alien abductions.
You know, when I'm out, I don't even worry about animals. I'm weird like that because I see myself as an apex predator. I'm big. I'm usually armed when I'm out there. But aliens, you can't do much about those little bastards. Those little gray bastards with their little mind control ray beams. They'll take you up and rectally probe you and dump you off on some mountain peak 100 miles away. And they're done with you.
Well, like in Shelly, Kentucky, they were shooting at these things, and they would hit them, and all it would leave is some kind of green goo, but they never could kill them all. Of course, that was many, 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 many years ago. There's
green
not a whole lot
goo
said about it. Yeah.
Wait, was that before the movie Predator came out when he was bleeding green?
Oh, way before. Way before. This was back when you didn't have phones and you didn't really have a neighbor, except they were 5 miles down the road, and if you needed a cop, you drove to go get one.
As Arnold Schwarzenegger once said famously, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah. Well, apparently, if they did kill anybody, they or any one of the little aliens, they never found the body. But supposedly they were held up in their houses all night long until it finally settled down enough they could run to get into the truck and go into town to get the sheriff.
If that happened to me, I don't know that my thought would be to run to a truck and try and get away. I would hunker down in a closet with a shotgun or something. To me, leaving the house is risky. That's a bad move.
Yeah, you're right, it is. But, I mean, they had guns a-blazing. And, you know, I mean, this was back in 1955. So, and you're talking about a real rural community. And they didn't have phones or things like that. And, I mean, it was, as soon as they could, they all got to their vehicle. You know, it was piled up in one vehicle, and they took off to go get the sheriff to come back out. Well, you know, nobody knew anything about forensics back then, right? Especially in a little town in Kentucky. I mean, they could have cared less.
Did they collect the green goo or put it on crackers or anything?
No. You know, like I said, back then, it just didn't happen. And, you know, it was like they were talking about the bullets couldn't stop them. So, and they just kept firing, and they just didn't stop coming. But by the next morning, they had left. Whenever they had left to go get the sheriff, they were gone by the time they come back. Of course, that's how the story always goes.
What did they allegedly look like? Were they like the alien grays that we hear about?
No. They were actually they call them the little green men of Kelly, Kentucky. And they were, I don't know if they were even 4 feet tall. And the pictures of them, I mean, and you can look it up, they have the ears that they had, like it was like their eyes were almost set on the sides of their heads. And then they had cat-like ears, but they were on the sides, not the top. I mean, it's just really crazy because this is not the aliens that we hear of today. You'll really have to look it up. It's really amazing.
So these little green bastards are 2.5 to 3.5 feet tall. Yeah, they look weird. They have like little mini antennas at the top of their head, you know, big heads, and yeah, strange. I'm looking at a picture right now.
Yeah, and they every year they have the little Green Men Festival, and you know the descendants of the original people. I mean, because some of them, I mean, they were little kids when this happened. So, I mean, they're still alive. But they will get up and they'll talk about it. And they'll tell you their story and what they can remember. And, of course, what their parents and grandparents told them about.
There were 11 witnesses. That's quite a lot. That's, you know, that's a lot of good information. These little guys have talons on their hands. It looks like their arms are the length of their body from the neck down.
Right.
I don't find them too menacing looking, actually.
No, but if you think about something that's that little and it keeps running at you and you can shoot it and it don't stop, that's scary stuff. But, I mean, the descriptions of them, it's just unbelievable. And like I said, I don't think I've ever seen a UFO report that had to do with aliens or anything with a description of this.
That's one of the things that I've wondered sometimes is there are so many different descriptions of alien beings. I mean, a lot of it's the alien grays. Then you hear these tall grays, and these ones with blue skin. You got these green guys. You got these Nordics. There's reptilians and all this kind of stuff. I mean, if all of these are legitimate, that's a lot of different races visiting the planet, which I find kind of skeptical. I just don't see Earth as being like a central hub, a bus station for dozens of races of aliens, but who knows?
Well, I mean, you look how many different races, cultures we have just on this little bitty planet. You know, it's really odd, but whenever I see this sketch of what these little things look like, I mean, that when I think of an imp, that's exactly what I think that they look like. These little scary ass small creatures that are running at you out of the bowels of hell, coming to take you with them. I mean, it just, that's what I think about.
Yeah, they're so tiny, you can just kick them off until you get overwhelmed by hundreds of them.
But yeah, that's where my mind goes with that creepy little stuff like that. But yeah, an alien is nothing I ever want to encounter. I've had my UFO encounter, and it was, the one that I had was really cool. And I just don't want it to go past that. And if there's ever anything that happened in between, I don't want to know. I'm kind of like you. I don't want to remember that stuff.
Yeah, what's the point? It just make you terrified and afraid to go to sleep at night. Which is, I'm already like that as it is right now. You know, I watch a scary movie. I can't sleep.
Yep.
I open my eyes.
Keep watching those movies.
I know, I did last night, actually. I watched
last night.
I watched a brand new, new release on Prime. It was a paranormal investigation documentary, a legitimate one. It wasn't like a horror movie. Called, I think it was called The House In Between or something like that. And it had one of the guys from Ghost Hunters from way back, and it was about this house. It was built in the 90s, and there's just all sorts of paranormal activity going on. So they investigated it for like 4 years, and one of the highlights of that whole thing was they would put baseballs on the stairs, and, you know, they got cameras everywhere in the house, shooting every part of the house you could imagine, and they captured 6 or 7 times, you know, the ball sitting on the stairs for days and days, and then just suddenly rolls down the stairs. And they captured the chandelier turning off on command. They would say, if there's anybody here, you know, can you shut off the chandelier? It would turn off, stuff like that, objects moving. It was not nearly as scary as the Demon House one. I actually kind of found it kind of underwhelming, but it was interesting nonetheless because they really took a scientific approach to it and had like contractors come in to check the wiring and talk to physicists and stuff like that, trying to figure out what could cause the ball to move. And but you know, it was interesting nonetheless. So that's what I watched last night. I actually paid a whole $5 to watch it.
Oh wow. And it didn't have a slot machine handle to it.
It didn't. I don't even know how to respond to that, actually. I was trying to think of something clever to say, but I can't.
You spent $5 on something that wasn't pizza and you weren't gambling.
Don't get my gambling juices going. You know how much I like to play them fruit machines?
Yeah. They're all kind of fun. You kind of can't help yourself. I understand.
Yeah, it's totally addictive. But yeah, it was a good documentary, kind of interesting. I did also rewatch The Demon House with Zach Bagans. That one's kind of creepy. I don't know if you've seen that, but that one's
I have watched that, and that is pretty scary. I mean, if you think about it, and the way he put it together, especially all the things that happened to everybody that was involved with that house that lived there, the police, the priest, and then the one guy that he had come in to do some kind of readings and stuff. And, I mean, he got a mysterious illness that hit him that started shutting down all of his organs at the same time in the same hotel that this one guy just completely loses his mind.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah, I mean, you go through things like that as an investigator, and then you have to put things like that together and link it all. And, you know, some of the stuff that happened to some of the policemen that were there, should that be a coincidence? You know, you don't know, but there's a lot of people that don't believe in coincidences, especially when it comes to all of them that got so sick.
But there was the other aspect to it where there were people that had lived in there since, or those people that were squatting there didn't seem to have any activity. And that's the one thing I don't understand about some of these hauntings, like Amityville, the Demon House, and a lot of them, and the Conjuring one, I think, as well, where people have lived there, but there's no activity. And I've never really understood that. If the house is active, and then you move out and somebody else moves in, and then you talk to them a handful of years later, and the current residents are like, oh, no, I've never noticed anything weird. Why is that? Why wouldn't it be active all the time? Or are they just not noticing?
Well, you know, there's some people that just are blocked paranormally. I mean, there's just nothing reaches them. It doesn't matter what goes on. Have you ever watched the show The Dead Files with Amy Allen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you see what she goes through, and her husband follows her wherever she goes. He records everything, and he's never had an experience at all, and they don't affect him, and he's just blocked off from that completely. I mean, he completely believes everything that she's doing, but he doesn't have any experiences because he just can't experience them.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes you wonder, why does one person's mind work the way that it does? And then, and you know, she can see all the things that she does, and then he can't.
I guess that makes sense. Some people, you know, some people like me would see something fall off a shelf and think that it's a demon, while other people would just not even give it a second thought, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can sit someplace and you can, like, really freak yourself out over, you know. I mean, I can tell the difference between when it's been hot outside and the house is cooling off or whatever, and you'll hear the pops and the knocks. I can tell the difference between that and when something's trying to get my attention. It's a huge difference, and it definitely feels different. But if you can't make yourself, you know, work out the difference in your mind, you know, that's when you get into trouble. Because there's people I've investigated with, it's like they have one little thing and paranormal to happen, and then everything after that is like, oh, did you hear that? Oh, you know, that, wow. And it's like, no, just calm down. You know, the house cools off or heats up or whatever, and it makes noises, and it doesn't mean that the demons are coming out of the walls to get you.
That is true. But if you see a baby toddler, ghost toddler on your ceiling with its head twisted the wrong way, then you may have a problem.
Have you seen that lately, honey?
I have not, but I was thinking of the movie Requiem of a Dream, I think what it was. Requiem had a scene where the guy was hallucinating and the baby was, I think, on the ceiling and twisted its head around. That's how my mind works. That's the kind of stuff that just pops into my brain. I'm probably not well.
You know, I could see you driving down a long, dark road through a national forest and just losing it, jumping out of the vehicle and then running off to nowhere and then never finding you again. Yeah, I could see that happening.
I could probably do that, and during the course of that run, I'd probably be screaming random names like Oprah Winfrey and stuff like that. Of course, naked. Saying that Oprah's trying to get me as I run through the woods, and then I'm never seen again.
Mr. Skeptic. And then here you are.
Yep. Well, we're just out of time, and I'll be honest with you, I am starving. I got to get something to eat, as usual. I usually wait till after this to chow down. So I got some
otherwise, you'll be falling asleep and taking a nap.
I know, right? I got some 8-hour-old Uber Eats waiting for me, so I think I'm going to dig into that.
Sounds wonderful. Not.
So unless you have anything else, so wrap it up and I'll go get me some din-din.
Yeah. We need to come up with ideas for paranormal stuff next week, Jason.
I know. It's been so crazy. There's so much going on. My mind has been focused on the house. But yes, we'll pick a subject and we'll stick with it.
Okay. Sounds good.
It's my week's resolution, next week's resolution. We'll pick a subject. Well, actually, you know what? I might not be able to do it, so we're going to have to talk offline and figure that out, because theoretically I could be in the moving process and I won't have internet because nothing's set up. I would have to set up all the utilities.
Oh, no. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, because I don't know how to do that. I mean, I'm pretty helpless. I don't know if you know that.
Well, this is true. You are one of those men. Some of them just are helpless.
Yeah, I don't work on things. I'm not handy at all. I'm very good at what I do at work in a laboratory. Outside of that, I'm terrible. I probably would hurt myself trying to use a hammer. That might be a slight exaggeration, but it's kind of true. I don't fix shit. I pay people to do stuff.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I really could.
All right, well, everybody out there doesn't catch the COVID, and we'll hopefully see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.